You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
We don't think religion belongs in the Capitol, and we don't think irreligion belongs in the Capitol. We would take our sign down if they took the manger and the other signs down.
This tree continues our commitment that I started when I became Speaker, the greening of the Capitol to fight global warming.
At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail.
Do you think the tree symbolizes anything as far as Christmas and the birth of Christ?
Yes, I do. I do. I call it a Christmas tree.
A new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Our message, it's meant to represent the views of those who are not religious. There aren't any gods.
We don't think in the Wilkin House of Daily Bread, because we shop once a week. So we go down the road, go to the grocery store, walk aisle by aisle, we fill up the cart, we go home after, of course, paying for all of it with money that we earned by doing regular old jobs. And so we don't think about it as daily bread. We think of it as groceries, the stuff that sits in the pantry until it runs out. And then we think about paying for it ourselves. And so it seems odd in the Wilkin House sometimes to pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. After all, no one gave it to us. We earned the money and we bought it with our own hard-earned cash. And it's not so much daily bread. We can stock up on it and keep it for a long time. Some of that stuff in the freezer has been there for years. So what do we mean when we ask for daily bread in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? We're going to be talking about that during this pastor's roundtable of Issues Etc. It's a regular Thursday feature here on the program. We are coming to you live this Thursday, the 18th of December. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour, give us this day our daily bread with our pastor's roundtable. And then in the next hour of the program, Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. We'll be talking with him about the second, I believe, of the O Antiphons of Advent, O Adonai, or O Lord. We'll go from Moses all the way to Christ in the study of that ancient hymn. And then in the last part of the program, Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us. We'll talk about that popular movie based on a series of books, Twilight. It's a vampire movie, mostly aimed at, it appears, teenage girls, but everybody is interested in it. He's read the books. He's seen the movie. We'll see what he thinks in the last half hour of the program. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. This is, by the way, our last live broadcast before Christmas. Feel free to call 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us for a pastor's roundtable on the telephone from Murdoch, Nebraska, where he serves as pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church there, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. Brent, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
And here in the studio, Pastor Stephen Tice. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Stephen,
good
welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks. Great to be with you.
And Pastor Tony Trope has come over as well from my hometown and his hometown as well. He serves as pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Illinois. Tony, thanks for coming out.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
Thanks to both of you here in the studio, by the way, for being in attendance at my installation at Millstadt.
Oh, it was
very
recent.
Wouldn't miss it.
Very nice to see you guys there. Pastor Kuhlman, the first question goes to you. If I get a paycheck, cash it, take my ATM card to the grocery store, pay for it all myself, and drive it home myself and put it in the pantry, cook it myself and put it on the plate, in what possible sense can I still, with a straight face, pray, give us this day our daily bread?
It's because it all came to you from the Lord through various means. In other words, how did you earn your money? You had a job, and that was provided to you by the Lord. You go to the grocery store, you buy the loaf of bread. Well, there was a farmer who raised the wheat. There was a miller who milled the wheat and made it into flour. And there was a baker who took the flour and made it into bread. All this is from the Lord. Everything that we have is from the Lord. And that's why we say, give us this day our daily bread, so that we learn two things. That we would learn that God gives daily bread to everyone, even to all evil people. But we pray this petition that God would lead us to realize this, namely that God gives daily bread, and that when you go to the grocery store, Todd, and you buy your bread and your beer and whatever else, that you would give thanks for it, that he's the one who's given it to you through various means.
Pastor Tice, is it about more than bread, or it, I guess we should say more than food, indeed, mm-hmm. this prayer, give us this day our daily bread?
Sure. It incorporates not just the actual food product, but the process of getting it to us. It incorporates prayer. We're really praying for physical needs and for the things that keep our bodies alive and allow us to keep our bodies alive. For instance, the government regulating the economy in such a way that prices don't get out of control, or maintaining peace so that farmers can transport their goods without fear of hijacking. You know, all those things are part of daily bread physically getting to us. So in the prayer, we actually encompass a broader scope than food. It's all the way out to the environment, the communities we live in, the government that maintains the roads, the products travel on. All those things are part of this prayer, actually.
I heard somebody, Pastor Tro, talking about give us this day our daily bread, and they said it goes so far back we can't even imagine how far God has been planning to put the food on our table, because there was a farmer who was grew up on a farm, and his grandpa grew up on a farm, and they immigrated from another country, and all the way back and farther still, God was doing this to put food on your plate today. Is that true?
Sure. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we need is from the Lord. The Lord was with that farmer years ago when he cleared the land and started planting, and then his son took over the farm, and then his son took over the farm and made it very productive. And because of that, we have cheap food. So, the Lord's been at this from eternity. Well, since man was created, always supplying the needs of human beings. So it does go back a long, long way. Whether or not we're more aware of it than people in the past, that's a good question. I think we're not aware of God's providence as we were in the past, people were in the past.
Why not? Why don't you think we're as aware as our ancestors of this?
I just think we're just full of ourselves.
And I think another part of it is that many people are so cut off from, you mentioned going to the grocery store, right, taking things off the shelf, putting them in a cart. You know, if you go out in the field and pull the weeds out of the middle of the potatoes, you get a different understanding of potatoes than if you pick up a bag with potatoes in it and put in a grocery cart. The idea of people living off the farm, living off the land, not even having a grocery store. Last Sunday we just mentioned John the Baptizer's practice of eating the locusts and wild honey. Well, there were no grocery stores down by Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where he was baptizing, so he had to eat whatever was available.
We're so independent these days. You know, we think we stand alone. We need the farmer who grows the food. Mm-hmm. And, we lose touch with the fact that God is providing all this. We think we do it all. And we're responsible for our livelihood and so forth. And we sometimes forget that it's God's plan that we work for a living, and this is God's doing.
Go ahead.
What did you say? He's the one that even put into the soil the nutrients that are needed. We don't generate that. Farmers have to add it now because we've used the land repeatedly and, forgetting the commandment that God gave the people of Israel to let the land lie fallow. Every 7 years they'd, have to let it rest. We don't do that anymore.
Pastor Kuhlman, you said something earlier that caught my ear. You said that God provides bread, daily bread, even to the sinful, even to the unbelieving world. Why does he do this?
Because he's the creator, and he takes care of his creation. So that's the way it was at the beginning. I mean, he planted the garden, put Adam and Eve to work in it, and they were to take care of it, nurture it, take care of the animals. And so he's just given it. You know, notice the connection here, Todd, between the fourth petition and the first article of the Apostles' Creed. You know, all the things that are included in daily bread are also mentioned as well in the explanation of the first article in the Small Catechism. And so we learn in all of this that we are creatures, and we are dependent upon God, and we are not gods ourselves, but we daily are to receive from him. So yeah, there's this fact that Jesus tells us in the New Testament that God gives daily bread to all evil people, everybody. But again, the point of this petition is to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving from the Lord, who's the giver of good gifts. And again, this reminds us, too, of that part of the explanation of the first article, that God does this without any merit or worthiness in me. And then we give thanks for that.
I want to talk about that a little bit as we go into this break with only about a minute. Tony, the why God feeds us this way. I don't deserve any of this. I mean, absolutely none of it. I don't deserve to draw another breath. And yet, God not only keeps me breathing and going, but he's apparently, according to the scenario we've laid out here, got a vast scheme at work to make sure that I don't go without these things that I need to live. Why is he doing this?
Because he loves his creation. He loves those he's created. When Adam and Eve were created, he put them in the garden to enjoy his entire creation. When they fell into sin and fell away from him, he restored them through the promise of a Savior. That Savior has come, Jesus Christ. He wants us to live with him forever and fellowship with him forever just because he loves us. We don't have anything he needs. He doesn't need a thing from me, but he simply loves me. This is kind of a mystery. You know, why does God love me? Don't know. He just does.
Well, I'm gonna jump in here. You know, Todd, you asked why does he do this for me? Well,
yeah, we only got about 30 seconds before our break. Go ahead.
Well, he gives you daily bread and provides for you so that you then can be his instrument in his hands to give daily bread to other people. You buy your kids clothes, Nikes, Wranglers, the whole ball of wax, cheeseburgers.
All right, let's pick it up there on the other side of the break. We're talking about Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jim Cramer, Becky Kohlberg, Michael Niehoff, Carolyn Weidmeyer, Sharon Hammond, Connie Broughton, Pastor Robert Moeller Jr., Lisa Blackburn, and Jonathan Casey. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Celebrate with gifts that illuminate the message of the holiday season from Concordia Publishing House. Click cph.org to shop a wide selection of books, home decor, and seasonal gifts, and find the perfect present for everyone on your list. And throughout December, purchase a children's Christmas book online or in our bookstore, and Concordia will donate a Christmas book to a local children's charity. Gifts with a message and a meaning. From Concordia Publishing House, believe in the wonder.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about that petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Our guest here in studio, Pastor Stephen Tice, Pastor Tony Trope, and on the telephone, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. Now, if you appreciate the weekly Pastor's Roundtables, a regular feature here on Issues Etc., please consider making a year-end donation to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Brent, you were saying something before the break about how this doesn't stop with us, how God takes care of us so that we can take care of others. Pick up there, please.
Well, a lot of people will ask me, well, Reverend, what use does the Lord have for me now that I'm saved in Jesus Christ? And this is part of the answer that I was trying to get at, is now the Lord, you see, you don't have to work on getting saved. You already are in Christ Jesus through faith in him. And so now the Lord uses you as his hands and mouth, his instrument, his mask in the world to provide daily bread for other people in your life. So, for instance, the cheeseburgers don't fall from the sky. You get the hamburger out of the freezer, you thaw it, you make patties, and you grill the hamburgers. You go to the store and you buy the Nike tennis shoes. Or you go and buy a Bible or small catechism for your kids or for the neighbor down the street. This is one of the reasons why God gives you daily bread every day, so that you are sustained to be his instrument to sustain other people. God always works through means for salvation, salvation's delivery, and also for the physical things we're talking about here in this petition.
Mm-hmm. Why does he do that? Why don't the cheeseburgers fall from heaven? Why doesn't God just, when I sit down for breakfast, I just say, thank you, Lord, and poof, there are my scrambled eggs.
No more manna. You know, what happened to the manna?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why is that, Steve?
Well, partly it's so that we recognize that he has put us in creation so that we work with creation. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden and given a direction to control and work with the earth, and it's God's gift. You know, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday about heart surgery and the fact that people have come up with the arthroscopic surgery. They can do the fiber optic procedures with little tiny lasers that do surgery inside the body. Really what happened was somebody, and I don't know who the persons were, but they were using the God-given intellect they had and the education that somebody else gave them, who was a teacher, using their daily bread's method of getting food.
Don't smirk at work.
Don't smirk at work. Yeah,
work is a gift of God.
Work is a gift from God.
But we don't think about it that way. We think of it as Americans. We have a very tense relationship with labor. We think of work as a necessary evil. We think of leisure as the natural course of affairs.
Right.
I mean, what are we working for? Retirement, which is what we all think we should be living now. Mm-hmm. We resent work, even as we see it as necessary, and yet we are completely intolerant of people who can't or don't work.
Yeah.
And it seems as though we are all messed up on the issue of
this is true.
Working.
We are all messed up. I'll go along with that one.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter which issue you pick. We're all messed up.
So Pastor Kuhlman was talking about means, and those means are the hands and the feet and the minds of our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Pastor Trope, how should we rightly see work, the labor God has given us to do for our neighbor?
Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord addresses the subject of stealing, and he says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to give to those in need. So it's God's plan that we work for a living, and when we do that, we are blessed. Blessed so that we can take care of our families, and blessed so we can take care of other people. He gives us more than we need to support our lives so we can help other people. So this is God's plan for our lives. This is, again, a gift from the Lord.
Pastor Kuhlman, somebody comes up to you and says, look, I understand this whole thing you're talking about, and it all sounds very good, but you don't understand. If I'm a cog in the machine of God's means of taking care of everyone, I don't see my place. I mean, he might say, I drive a truck or I do this job or that job, which does not seem godly at all. What's your response?
Well, it is. It is godly. And God uses you where he puts you. So if you're a truck driver, you're driving a truck. You're delivering goods to some place for some service. And this is living the life, a sacrificial life for others. We were talking about work. You know, Americans work at their play, and they play at their work. But instead, scripturally, like in Romans 12, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices for other people. We live and work for others because we know that we are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our life is not one of ascent towards God, trying to earn our way to heaven, but rather now, because of Jesus, our life is one of descent into the neighbor. And this, when you do your work and you earn a paycheck, you are doing it for the sake of others. You may have a family.
It's a spiritual act.
Yes, it is. This is your spiritual worship that Paul talks about in Romans 12.
It ties into I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's why Dr. Luther in the Table of Duties in the Small Catechism talks about these things as holy orders.
The beauty of the fourth petition is it eliminates that electrical fence between the physical and the spiritual. You know, we're dependent on God for everything, for salvation, for life, for what we need to support this life. Earning your daily bread is a spiritual act. You know, so often in the United States, we think of spiritual as something very intellectual or emotional, something to do with fine arts, but really this to be spiritual is pertaining to your relationship with the true God. Being spiritual is having a relationship with a true God through Jesus Christ. Because of his work on the cross and his resurrection, I'm right with God. I serve him. He touches every aspect of my life. I'm totally dependent on him.
That's brilliant because it means that we're human beings.
Yeah. And it's directly connected to the passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about no longer living for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again, and to live for Christ. Then he says, you've done this by serving others. You've done this by feeding the hungry. And so we've got these resources from the Creator to help in the process of caring for his creation as part of his body. And because we're part of Christ's body in the church, we are carrying out the work not only spiritually but physically of nurturing God's creation.
Okay, here's the flip side of this prayer. If Jesus says, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread, the same Jesus will say, not too far on, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. The Lord knows what you need. And he's ready to provide it all. He gives it to the Gentiles. He's going to give it to you.
Yep.
I hear that. And you know what I do? I start worrying about all those things. And I start worrying about the fact that I know that worrying is forbidden by Jesus. And it becomes a cycle of worry. And I think to myself, what in the world is he talking about? Don't worry about clothes. Sooner or later, I'll be naked. Don't worry about food. Sooner or later, there won't be any food on the table. What do you say, Pastor Thomas?
Well, Jesus didn't say don't think about them. He said don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be consumed by the physical needs you have. Give them attention, and then if you've given them attention by the work that you're doing, this vocation of yours, whatever this will be for an individual, you've done that work. Now take the product of that work and use it.
He wants us to be cognizant of the fact that our Father knows we need these things. You know, the Lord knows that we need clothing. You know, I'm always buying new shirts because I think my wife is shrinking my shirts.
That's it.
Collars are always getting really tight. But, you know, when he says, don't worry, I think that's the Lord saying, I know what you need. Just do your work, serve me, serve other people. Don't worry about getting stuff.
And part of it is that, you know, as Paul mentioned, the law said, don't covet. And before that, I didn't know what it was. And once it said, don't covet, then I started coveting. It's exactly the same thing.
Okay, that's the situation I find myself in. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with our pastor's roundtable about give us this day our daily bread. The daily part is also a source of worry for us because we like to plan ahead. And you know what's happened? Sure, you know what's happened. You've been watching your 401k, your 503b, or whatever it is you've been sticking your money into, and you thought, that stock market, it's going to go up forever, and it didn't. And suddenly 40 or 50% of what you put in has disappeared in a flash of electrical, whatever, wherever they're keeping the money now, it disappeared in a flash of electrical impulses. And you're thinking to yourself, Daily Bread, I'm worried about my retirement. I'm worried about 20 years from now. What kind of questions do you have? What kind of comments do you have on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread? We want to hear from you. It's Thursday afternoon, the 18th of December, our last live broadcast before the Christmas break. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our in-studio email address, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-I-E. In the next hour of the program, we'll spend some time with Pastor Will Wheaton, taking on the second antiphon of the O antiphons of Advent. It'll be O Adonai, or O Lord, and then the books were a huge hit, the Twilight books, all about vampires, teenage girls, and then the movie came out. We'll talk with Dr. Richard Stockwish about the Twilight movie and the book series in the last half hour of Issues, etc. Stay tuned.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Euthanasia is alive and well in America, and you should be alarmed at its rapid progress. 10 years ago, Oregon became the first state to legalize physician-assisted suicide. The state of Washington followed last month. Now, a judge in Montana has declared the right of assisted suicide there. Judge Dorothy McCarter says the same part of the state constitution used by a court to support abortion also allows euthanasia. Pro-euthanasia activists have their sights set on other states. This is an alarming trend in America, and you must be aware of the dangers it poses to vulnerable patients who are deemed by others to have a poor quality of life and expendable. This means others will choose who lives and who dies. Check out our website at lifeissues.org to get educated on the dangers of euthanasia.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
My children eat 3 square meals a day. Yes, my children eat 3 square meals a day.
Don't grin at me. That's Woody Guthrie, man. That's real music. Strums at my heartstrings. Real music. We're talking about Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. It's our pastor's round table this Thursday afternoon, the 18th of December, on Issues Etc. Pastor Brent Kuhlman, Pastor Stephen Tice, and Pastor Tony Trope are our guests. Gary emails us with this. He says, God gives me daily bread, not just to help the godly, but the ungodly as well. Gary says, I remember this each time I give to people who I suspect are con artists or whom I later learn are con artists. Pastor Trope, your thoughts here on when someone comes and says, I need this, Pastor, and you have a pretty strong suspicion that they're not above board.
I always feel it's best to err on the side of charity. So I give them what they need, no matter how much I think they are trying to take me. But I never give them money. I always give them food, or I pay a bill or something like that. So they don't use the money for alcohol or drugs or something like that. So, yeah, I think you should err on the side of charity. And even though they're con artists, they need to eat too.
So you are wise as the serpent and as innocent as the dove when it comes to that kind of thing. Pastor Tice, your thoughts there, and I'll get Pastor Kuhlman's idea.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've always tried to do, what we do at, you know, church office. People call up and say, I need help with this or that. And we, you know, we have a church fund that actually we make out a check right to the landlord or the utility company or whatever and cover it that way. A food pantry that, again, food pantry is anybody shows up gets food. It's that simple.
Yeah. Pastor Kuhlman, your thoughts on this is so often comes up when we talk about caring for the neighbor, especially caring for those without things that we take for granted, that, you know, who knows what they're going to spend it on. Your thoughts there.
Love doesn't count the cost. It doesn't keep score. It just simply gives. We love as Christ loved us. And if they deceive us, we'll let the Lord sort that out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to admit that I often sin in this regard because I resent these people. Oftentimes, after the Saturday service, I'm coming home around 7:30, 8 o'clock. I haven't eaten my dinner, so I'm very hungry, and somebody will come to the church looking for a handout. And I give it to them, but I'm pretty resentful. The thing that keeps me going is Jesus wants me to do this. I'm to show love to this person because Jesus loves me. Well, and even if this person is a con artist, this person needs love. But I have to admit that sometimes I really do have this this resentment.
The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And yeah. I don't want to talk about writing the check in church and putting in the offering plate with this respect. But I'm talking about giving to your neighbor. And Jesus even goes so far as to say, even if your neighbor comes and takes something from you, then you give them more than what they even stole. And these are hard things to do in a culture where we are all conditioned to believe that what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine if I can get it too.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of cheer, Pastor Tice, in the kind of giving that Christians engage in when they know they should and they do, but it's because they should.
Yeah, that's the problem, the challenge we all have. We have sinful hearts, sinful desires, and at the same time, we do what we know we should out of a sense of duty, and God works through us when we don't want Him to. You know, it's how He still operates. It's as Brent mentioned, He's using the means, and sometimes the means aren't willing and don't even realize God's doing it, but He's still working through us.
Yeah, this is the battle of the old Adam and the new man, and in these circumstances, then the Lord would teach us as we pray this petition, that we would also then receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. We learn this. The old Adam must die. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord will use these situations to put the old Adam to death. And boy, by the way, Todd, I got some bills I'm going to send you. Would you pay them for me?
You know, I tell you what, I got to tell my own story in this regard. And this is not only my story, but Jeff's story too. Because after the show was canceled summarily a little less than a year ago, we kind of hung in limbo. You know, your former employer will give you your last paycheck and what they owe you on vacation, everything like that. So you walk home and you say, all right, this will hold us for a while. But really with a huge question mark, we weren't going to sign any kind of gag order for severance. So we were assumed from the very moment we walked out of there, there isn't going to be more money coming from our former employer. It's just not going to happen. And we became, in very few short days, became the beneficiaries of such unbelievable largesse on the part of people who didn't even know us. I mean, they might have known my voice. Hmm. Some of them didn't even know that. And they became so generous. And suddenly, all the thing that I was worried most about when I drove in the driveway unemployed was the last thing I was worrying about. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly God's people had suddenly just turned their pockets inside out for us. And it has changed the way I think about the money I got sitting in the bank. And it's changed the way I think about people who really are in need, the kind of need that isn't temporary, that can't be solved with money. Mm-hmm. And you know where it leads me, and again, this is the cynic in Wilkin, the need is so great. Yep. It's beyond anyone's capacity to meet these needs.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we turn then when we can't give enough to solve the problem?
Well, that's part of the place where we continue to pray for these people, and we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We also pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we're incorporating them in the Lord's Prayer and in other parts of the prayer. But we also are praying that the church would be used regularly to reach people with the gospel, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would work through the contact that either we've had or other Christians have had with them. And we recognize that God's the one who gave them what they needed to start with. We'll have to, A, use our resources to bring that message, but B, trust the Holy Spirit to do the work that he will do.
Well, who is it that said, the poor you will always have with you? I think it was Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is an ongoing battle, if you will, ongoing struggle. And, you know, when you help somebody at that moment, you've helped one more person. So
our call-in number is 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, and our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Ann in St. Louis. Thanks for waiting, Ann.
Oh, thank you. One of the things I've learned the very best from you at Issues is who my neighbor is. It's been, that message has been delivered with a great amount of clarity. And so as you've given to us, then we get to give back to you. And there was a man that used to call all the time when you were at KFUO who would always preface his comments with, please contribute to Issues, etc. And another thing that was impacting to me was, I think when Matt Harrison was in China maybe, a person ran up to him yelling, Issues, etc. So when they took you off the air, it was, I kept thinking about that man wasn't going to hear the message anymore. So I think a great thing to consider at this time of year when we're making contributions is to give to you, as a Christmas gift.
Well, Ann, thank you very much. Now I don't have to do the year-end giving plug going in the break. Thank you so much. She's talking about Mike in Kansas City, who every time he called, and he would call mm-hmm. on a regular basis, I hope everybody supports Issues, et cetera, and that kind of stuff. And it's very nice to hear that, Anne. Thank you so much. When we come back, I do want to talk about putting money in the offering plate, but I don't want to leave a couple loose strings untied here with regard to the whole issue of taking care of the neighbor. Pastor Kuhlman, this email comes from Dennis in St. John's, Michigan. He says, please ask your pastor's panel what correlation exists between daily bread of Matthew 6:11 and the living bread that came down from heaven, John 6:51. I'm going to toss that one to you.
Well, Jesus takes a part of his creation, bread, and he says, take and eat it. Here's my promise. It's my body. It's given and it's shed for you, and it's for the forgiveness of your sins. So you have daily bread that takes care of our physical things that we need in life. And then Jesus is also the bread of life, the living bread, as he said, and by which he gives us the very gifts that he won for us at Calvary, salvation, forgiveness of sins. There's the connection.
And Jen in Virginia says, I have nothing profound. My brain is wrapped up in Christmas cookie recipes. She says it's sort of like bread. Excellent conversation. Thank you all for and have blessed Christmas to you all. Safe travels in Christ. She says, Jen at Bull Run, who's trying to teach my kids where the food comes from. Our chickens are finally laying. That's exactly leads me exactly where I wanted to be, and that is back to the farmer. Mm-hmm. The one thing this guy knows is he doesn't control the weather.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't control whether or not the calves get conceived, and he doesn't control whether or not the price of grain goes up or down. This guy mm-hmm. is hanging at the end of a string. And Pastor Tice, did you grow up in kind of the farm
yeah,
community?
Yeah, I grew up in rural central Missouri, and a lot of farmers there, and my parents both grew up on farms, and so I'm very familiar with agriculture as a livelihood. And the very simple point I've made for years is the person who in his daily occupation exhibits the greatest faith is a farmer. Because he goes out, puts the seed in the ground, and that's the last time he can control that seed. It's there, and he's stuck.
All he can control is where it goes in the ground.
That's it.
Just make sure he plants it on his side of the fence and not his neighbor's
right.
side
that's
of the fence.
It.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. I do want to discuss Christians giving to support the gospel outreach, because that, of course, is part of what we are called to do. Unbelievers don't do that. We don't take money from unbelievers for this stuff. This is what the church does. Part of the daily bread of the church is, man shall not live by bread alone, but also by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then there's this great prayer that Luther recommends we pray straight from the Psalms that has become the table prayer for me. It is, O Lord, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. We're going to talk about God feeding everyone and everything after this. So feed me.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Stephen Bauer, Deanne Erickson, Wade Turner, Terry Thorson, Susan Napolitano, Eric Keller, Glenn Warner, Jamie Gardner, Emily Janetsky, and Michael Bridges. Thanks for your support.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support as we approach the end of 2008.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. David Blees, Elizabeth Hill, Thomas Shepard, Margaret Hazeman, John Threet, Allison Keach, Robert Van Gundy, Wesley Odom, Irene Mallon, and George McFarlane. Thanks for your support.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org. Last 10 minutes of this first hour, our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Brent Kuhlman, Pastor Stephen Tice, and Pastor Tony Trope are our guests. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Pastor Kuhlman, you, if I'm not mistaken, Murdoch, Nebraska is, while it's somewhat close to Omaha, Nebraska, I think you're pretty much out in the middle of nowhere, and you're surrounded by agriculture, am I right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, farmers in the congregation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, these men, these families that farm, what do they see living? You know, my producer Jeff has a theory that agrarian societies will tend to be at least theistic because they see their dependency, whereas industrialized societies or post-industrialized societies will tend to be more agnostic because they think they control everything.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Right. That's right. I think that's a general observation that is correct. As mentioned earlier, the farmer knows that he's not in control. He knows he's a creature. Now, the farmer knows, like Adam and Eve before the fall, they knew that they were to take care of the garden and they were to take care of the animals. And this is part of what it means to be a human being. Faith in God and then love for the neighbor and love for creation. And the farmer, redeemed in Christ Jesus, knows that his vocation is to take care of the ground, to take care of the animals, you know, animal husbandry, take care of the crops, to provide for your family and to provide for those in the world who need food. And this, again, is what the fourth petition is all about, so that we receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, that we receive everything from the Lord.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Yep. And picking up on that term animal husbandry. You know, that's actually a reminder of the fact that Christ cares for his church as a husband for the wife, Christ his body, the church. So even in the care of creation, we are acting out an element of our role as the people of God in the fact that we're husbanding creation. We're still doing what he put Adam and Eve in the garden to do. It's a continuation of our relationship with Christ.
There is this prayer that Luther recommends for the way to give thanks before eating. And it's not, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, with a perfectly good prayer in and of itself. But this one is a quotation from the Psalms. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. And here's the image that is so striking. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And then it goes on to talk about young ravens when they cry and things like that. And the picture there seems to be that God is hand-feeding. You know, don't feed the bears, but he is. He's the all creation is eating from his hand. Is that more than just a metaphor, Pastor Trope?
No. When God created the world, he established natural laws, and they run according to these laws, but he can suspend them. I mean, everything depends on the Lord, and he cares about every creature. He knows about the sparrow. I think that's a great metaphor. He opens his hands and feeds everyone, satisfies everyone. He knows everyone. So,
Pastor Kuhlman, should our plates be shaped like hands instead of, you know, circles or squares? I mean, we have these dinner plates and we'll decorate them with flowers and pictures of our kids. Maybe they should be shaped like a big hand.
Well, if you want to, go ahead. You're free to do that. I would simply rely on the words that are given to us in the scriptures. I'll never forget when I was growing up and we would go and be with my grandma and grandpa Kuhlman in Kimball, Nebraska for family occasions like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter. And my grandpa would always pray this prayer, the asking a blessing and the returning thanks from the small catechism. I was so impressed. I couldn't figure out where in the world he learned that. Did he make this up? Come to find out later on, it's just the scriptures.
Yeah.
Let the scriptures inform your praying. Or in other words, let the word do the praying for you, and it'll teach you.
Mm-hmm. We look at the daily aspect of daily bread, and I mentioned before the break that retirement seems a long ways off for some of us, but we're thinking about planning for many tomorrows away and not for tomorrow. Have we forgotten? In our plan, we were also a plan ahead prevention kind of a culture. Have we forgotten that this stuff is daily, that it is day by day? Tomorrow has enough trouble for itself, Pastor Tice.
Yeah, we have in a variety of ways, partly because of we're saturated with advertising that says, you know, plan ahead, plan for the future, look to what's coming down the road. And we also tend to forget that God is the one that will supply. So if we lose everything today, we haven't lost God. So we've got everything we had before. Because everything we had came from God.
There's a big difference between what we want and what we need. Most of our needs today are really wants. You know, I was thinking about growing up on the south side of St. Louis. We lived in a two-family flat. I had three younger sisters. They all shared the same room.
I mean, the girls' room.
The girls' room, right. Our needs were supplied. I never went hungry. I never went without warm clothing. Lord took care of us. But compared to the desires of many people today, we had nothing. So I think we need to remember that our wants and needs are two different things.
Now we have this benefit called indoor plumbing. You know?
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for indoor plumbing. I think about that a lot.
Yeah,
I
mean, you live
on a cold day.
People have for centuries.
You know, I guess that's interesting. I was thinking about that, too, because my dad grew up without it when the very first days in western Kansas on a farm. And eventually they brought it in. They brought it in real quick after a couple Kansas winters.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dad now is in his very early 70s, and he can remember a time when water came from the well. And,
right. Mm-hmm.
And the plumbing wasn't in the house, and it was hand to mouth. I wanted to reflect on one other thing, Pastor Kuhlman, and I don't know if it makes a connection, so stop me if it doesn't, but I'm thinking about the last hours that Christ spent on the cross, And one of the words he utters there is, I thirst. He's thirsty. I can reach for a bottle of water right now behind me and get one. And Christ thirsts on my behalf at the cross. I'd like your thoughts on that with only about a minute here.
The work that he did for us and for our salvation was immense, and thus the need for something to drink. There's other ways you can talk about this, but yes, he had needs, and so the fourth petition even applied to him, providing he. And the other thing he said is, Father, into your hands I commend myself, didn't he? Even his own life he commended into his Father's hands and his needs. So, you know, what we have with Christ is the one who teaches us, if you will, what the fourth petition would have us learn, namely that we receive all this from the Father's hand, everything, even in our dying days. You know, there are people, you know, a pastor calls on people on their deathbed, and one of the last things you can do for them is to wet their lips or wet their tongue, you know. Just like
Isn't that great that Jesus came to earth and took on human needs, his own needs, to meet our greatest need?
Yeah.
You know, he became thirsty, he became tired, he became hungry so that he could meet our greatest need for salvation, the forgiveness of our sins.
Okay, I need a 30-second answer to this email from Don in Kansas. We hear so much today about individual autonomy. Each one acts like they're a law unto themselves. They need no one, and it's an illusion of the modern world. We're not self-created. We need God to sustain our life, and there are times in history when people had to find their food daily and did not find any. They went to bed hungry.
Right.
Now we waste food and act like there's no end of the food supply. They may have to learn again how dependent we are on God. Pastor Tice, only 30 seconds.
Well, we're also interdependent. God's placed us in the world with this understanding. None of us comes into life without two parents. I mean, biologically, we don't show up without two other people. We are all interdependent, not only for continued existence, but for initial existence. And so the idea that anybody is going to handle it on their own, you quickly discover that if you're ill, if you have a medical condition, Alzheimer's disease, any of those things in a family, you see the need for other people.
Pastor Stephen Tice is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Thanks for coming out today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Beside him in the studio, Pastor Tony Trope is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Illinois. Thank you.
It's great to be here.
And on the phone, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. Brent, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Blessed Christmas.
And to you as well. In the next hour, Pastor Will Whedon and the O Antiphons of Advent, O Adonai, O Lord, will be the subject, and Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us in the second hour to talk about the Twilight movie and the Twilight book series. There's a great passage that we read when we're laying earthly remains into the ground from Scripture. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. If we live to the Lord. That's what we're doing right now. We're living from the Lord and to our neighbor. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, says Paul. And then he says, and for this reason, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the living and the dead. You see, even this material life that will one day end, even this life of eating and working that will one day come to an end, Christ has redeemed it. He's redeemed the food on your plate. He redeemed the farmer out in the field. He's redeemed the ground. He's redeemed the plants that grow. He's redeemed the trucks and the gas that power it. Everything redeemed so that he might care for you, so that he might be Lord of you both living and dying, so that on the last day, when he comes again, his resurrection will come to its culmination, its completion, its consummation, when he raises us again to a new heaven and a new earth. Then we'll really see that it's all coming from him. Stay tuned for hour two of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.